Hey, get back right. Get back right. Get back right. Fell off. Lost my cool. Whoa, say. Bounce back. Got dirt on my shoes. Got back right. When you got real power, you can't move. Hey, get back right. Get back right.
Yeah, one time. Zay Tova checking in. Zay and Lecrae. King of business. Believe that. All gas, no brake. Yeah, we going full force with it. Believe that. Let the trap say amen.
You're like, we just got done singing this worship set, and you really interrupted my worship with that whatever that was. No, we're still worshiping. It just sounds a little different. When you get to heaven, it's going to sound really different. Okay, there's going to be a lot of noise and a lot of loud clanging cymbals. And if you want the traditional service, it won't be there. It will be loud and very different. All different ethnicities, all different sounds, all different types of language. God just brings it together. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going. Anybody else going? Right? 10:30, 9:30, 8:30. I don't care what service. We're just going to do it all day long. Now, Lecrae is making a very strong statement there. In fact, this came out, and I listened to lyrics. Anybody here listen to lyrics? You just play the music, right? Everybody listen to lyrics. Don't even go there. Everybody, high schoolers are like, I just like the music. I'm like, no, you need to listen to what you're listening to. This stuff is dirt, and you need to get rid of it. I've got the same sound you want with some really good lyrics. Lecrae's my man. And Zaytoven and Lecrae got together. They put this album together. It just came out a few months ago. And it's called Let the Trap Say Amen. And I wondered, what is trap? Like, I'm trapped, shut your trap, you know, you open the trap, or I lobster trap. You know? Now, this is my music. My kids know I go everywhere from classical, country, jazz, everything, and I take my rap very seriously. Why? Because I'm an old youth pastor guy, but I also know that this music does have a purpose, and it has a following, and it has a group of people listening to it, and lives will never be the same if you let it change you, if you let those lyrics go deep. So when someone says, let the trap say amen, I said, well, I want to say amen. Am I in the trap? Am I trapped? What is trap? So I did my homework, and Lecrae actually responded. And this is what I found out. In 1994, the BET Awards going on in L.A. had Tupac say some very serious things at the awards ceremony. His life was on the line, actually, for what he said very soon after that, life being threatened. And so they had an interview with him, and BET took it a little bit further, and they said, we'd like to sit down with you and just talk to you about some of the statements and things. Rap was just kind of exploding there a little bit. It's kind of coming out, and it was certain people, certain individuals, Tupac being one of them, and I'm sure you've heard of him, and I'm sure you've heard that he has passed on. He was murdered. The statements that he made in regards to, people don't think I'm rapping about the things that I really know about. They think I'm just a goody-goody coming from a certain bougie community, and I don't have what it takes to rap about the stuff I know. And so in this interview, and it's 45 minutes long, he basically explains his entire childhood on up to where he's at. And he is sitting back going, no, I know what I'm rapping about. In fact, the rest of you rappers have no idea what you're rapping about. You're playing classical music in your car CDs. You seriously don't know what life I've lived. And so this was his little monologue. And I sat back going, okay, and I'm listening to this whole thing, trying to gain a little ground here. And then all of a sudden he says it. He goes, the trap I come from, the communities that I come from, the crowds that I come from have absolutely no idea how to get out of what they're in. They have no idea how to get out. They're trapped. They're as far as the world is concerned and society is concerned, they're in this difficult little situation they have going on. The socioeconomic status is doomed. Everything about it is in trouble. And that's my trap. That's my people. That's where I come from. Very strong words. Very strong words. And he made sure everybody understood it. And not too long after that, someone took his life. It's a hard community. Lecrae, same thing. Background, not good. Selfish mistakes and relationships that were out of control. Drugs, all of it. God rescued this man. He gave in. And as a result, communities and lives are being changed. And he's crossing over. He's inviting Ty Dolla $ign and Zaytoven and plenty of other huge names to jump in on what he has found. And this artist is now reaching out in his evangelism, his personal evangelism. And on top of discipling those of us pastors that are still listening to his music, it crosses over. And I respect what he's doing. Even though not every song may turn on a crowd for a worship set, I can worship to that music because I know where it's going. I know who it's about. And as a result, what he's saying is, so to speak, you may feel like the minority. You may feel like a Christian in this world is trapped. I mean, go ahead and listen to every newscast you want right now and get your 30-minute fill of you pick your network. Christians are not leading the way, so to speak, from the news perspective. In fact, there's a lot of communities that are considering themselves as leaders, and we're a part of the trap. And so what Lecrae is gently saying here is a reminder, I lost my cool, I got dirt on my shoes, I shouldn't have said some things that I did. I apologize for that. For all of us that are sinners, for all of us that need a Savior, let the trap say amen. It brought me home. I went over and over that lyric. Why? Because I play for the football team. I play for any team. I play for my FCA group. I want to know what's being played to my students. I want to know. What is that all about? And I'm a part of the trap. So are you. God has set something up that's not just large. In fact, that's what we talked about a few minutes ago. He set it up to be small and known and cared for. Look at these mega churches that are beautiful churches on the mainland. One of my favorites, Mariners. Been to Mariners before on an Easter Sunday. And Saddleback, another great one. Some of the best conferences I've been to. And Texas at Gateway, beautiful churches. Bethel, some of the pretty facilities. But you walk in and it is a large number of people. Very large. Thousands. And they do multiple services. How in the world is a person that attends that service, how are they going to grow personally just by attending those services? It can happen, but the DNA of the church and the DNA of what you have inside you is to be known and to be cared for, to be heard, and you're never going to get that from just attending. It's like going to a movie. That's not a connecting event, so to speak. You've got to break out. You've got to have something that's intimate. Got to have a chance to be able to be heard with your story. And where story starts is where life on life begins. And that's what Lecrae and all these other artists are trying to put out there, is your story matters. Because your story and God's story come together, something will change someone else's life and their story. I love that. And these people that stood up on stage, we're learning their story. But all of them have one thing in common. Jesus invaded their life in a beautiful way. He literally came in and disturbed them. And as a result, their life will never be the same. They share that story. They share that part of their story together. Amen? Amen. The trap say amen. Amen. So I sit back, and this week I go back to my roots. Years ago, I worked at a facility. Before I became an athletics director, I was helping to direct a specific recreation complex. This was a large facility in the state of Florida that had multiple sports going on. It had 3 wagon wheel softball setups. It had outdoor basketball, a huge indoor gymnasium, a fitness facility, game room, Olympic-sized swimming pool, Olympic diving board, tennis courts going down the yin-yang. It was called the Southwest Recreation Complex. And it was sitting, so to speak, in our city, annexed on the very edge of county, okay, unincorporated county and city, set right in the corner of the city limits. And this community was sitting next to would be categorized as the projects in our county, unincorporated land, and a lot of folks lived there, and it was a whole other group that came through our door at the recreation facility. And so our staff realized we set this beautiful place up right here on the corner of this city and with the county right behind us. How in the world are we going to turn people down behind this fence that are right there, our neighbors? We couldn't do it. We couldn't justify that. So we offered what would be non-resident passes. Came up real quick because all the kids wanted to swim in that pool. All the kids wanted to play hoops. It was raining in Florida most of the time, so who else wanted to be in the gym but the teens and the kids and the young people? Dad's getting off work early. We come down and want to play some drop-in basketball all hours of the night. but they were non-residents. We had to change that. And so a few of us set out to begin what was called a non-resident annual pass. It was a little bit more money because they were non-tax-paying people, but they still got their pass. And for those that couldn't afford that, we set up a payment plan and all these other things. You know, and for kids, we just let them in. We just let them in. Life started to change on our property. Life started to change in that rec center. In fact, the facility staff that really couldn't handle that, seeing the crowds mix, they quit. We had to hire some new folks, like-minded folks, that were caring about the whole community, not just the city of Largo where we're at, but this area, this whole area where we were at. And as a result, camp changed. The dynamics of camp changed. The kids in our camp changed. The staff had to change. The swimming pool with the elite swim team, they had to change. There were new kids in that pool. They've never seen swim before. Some never even learned how to swim before. I love that. One night, I was called to, the alarm was going off. And I showed up, and my wife remembers this. I showed up to check on things. Sometimes the alarm would just be tripped, unless somebody was in the building. It's a very, very large facility, huge facility. And I walked up. I parked my car, I walked up the ramp, and I walked inside the office, unlocked the glass doors, walked inside, I went behind the counter, the alarm was going nuts, and went to do my ADT code, I put it in, and out of nowhere, just someone just started blasting the front glass with a machine gun. I mean, it's just these panels of glass, like the size of this wall, shattered and went into the office. I fell down, I mean, face first in this carpeted area, and I couldn't move. My heart was racing, and a drive-by had occurred. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, it was like, do I raise my head or do I play dead? Is somebody in this building? Did the shots come from outside or did they come from inside? I'll never forget it. It happened several times after that, by the way, but that specific time, I just wanted to run. It was dark. It was basically pitch black. It was 1 a.m. I had no idea if somebody was still in that building. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone through anything like that before or if you've ever had a relative go through that or a close friend, whatever it is. But there is this fight or flight mechanism that kicks in eventually where you realize, I can't just lay here. I can't just not do something. You know, if my own survival is at stake here, I've got to figure this out. And what we very soon... And the cops did show up, and they came in. German Shepherds jumped the counter. I mean, SWAT team, everybody was there, and I've never been so glad to see people in all my life. And I just got up like, yeah, they went that way, you know. I never saw anybody. But I won't forget the fact that when they showed up, man, I was like, oh, man, am I glad to see you guys. They had all their cool infrared everything going on, and I'm just standing there in shorts and flip-flops. I won't forget the fact that when they showed up, what came over me, what I felt. But a side of me was torn, because whoever did this, whoever took the time, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of stuff just shot up, and the community, you know, saw this. They weren't from our community. They weren't our kids. I know Matt deals with this in the teen center. The kids that he knows and the kids that he loves and the kids he's poured his life into, they're not the ones damaging the pool tables. They're not the ones not giving a rip on the foosball and tearing up something. They're not the ones. The ones that appreciate stuff and what they've been given, they care for stuff like that. So I didn't have a problem with keeping non-resident stuff going on. But I wanted to know who the heck is responsible for this. Because it kept going on. It happened 3 more times in 6 months. Back windows, side windows, tennis court lights shot out, softball lights shot out, thousands of dollars worth of stuff. We were literally dealing with gangs. Gangs that had moved into our section of Largo. So this group from Tampa comes over, and make a long story short, they sit me down and say, you're going to be our regional director for gang activity in Pinellas County. I sat there going, dude, I like pickup basketball, tennis, you know, I'll do the high dive thing with all my friends, cannonballing. I'm not your man. They said, no, you're as close to the kids as it gets. You're the director of this facility. You're seeing stuff. We need to know about it and document all this stuff. I sat back and I realized what I was up against, the first thing I had learned in regards to gangs is there are some really good foundational truths that bring these groups together. The crap that they were doing was not good, right? Thousands of dollars worth of stuff. I could have had my life taken, and who knows who others were taken. But I can tell you right now, the foundation of this loyalty, this trust, was unbelievable. And I'm talking way past West Side Story. I'm talking way past, you know, crossing the switchblade, this Crips and the Bloods and the Bishops and the Mau Maus. Stuff was moving into my community that was personal to Largo, right? This was more than just watching this on TV or a musical, you know. This was real. These are my kids. They were hanging stuff in their back pockets. They were doing certain hand signs. They had tattoos that came out of nowhere, letting people know, this is who I'm with. Are you with me? I had to learn this. I had to figure it out. I had to go to school on this, so to speak. I won't forget it. But the foundational truths blew me away. I thought all gangs were just built on nothing but drugs and hate and everything else. No. It changed my life. They joined those gangs because no one would listen to them to begin with. All of a sudden, I'm heard. I want attention. They joined those gangs because no one gave a rip about me at home. Here, these are my brothers. These are my sisters. And I belong. And they want to belong. They joined those gangs because you got my back no matter what hell I go through. I can always count on you. Your friendship, regardless of the circumstances, is not ice cold. It's always warm. You always take me in. It's true. It's genuine. When it came down to what we wanted to do, no, we didn't make the right decisions. But we did it, and we did it together, man. And we accomplished this together. We have power. We can show it. We'll tell that city. We'll show them. We'll make those tax people pay higher than they're already paying taxes. We'll make them all pay. We've got power. And guess what? No matter what happens, I'm never going to narc. I'm not going to tell on anything that I know. I feel like you got my back, I got yours. This is a secure environment. And they're built on security. It's interesting. But the foundational truths of something that's so deadly actually have some pretty darn good value systems set in. What they choose to do with them is a whole nother means. But I sit there and go, security, power, friendship, belonging, attention. I think the church needs that. The church needs a small group like that. I don't mean just a little chit-chat gossip thing going on or a Sunday morning men's prayer breakfast. I'm talking about, you got my back. And together, we're powerful. Our belief will change another man's life. We can reach into the heart of a teenager and do something we've never done before and rescue them through addiction, from their addiction. Why? Because we're together on this. And when it comes down to it, I know I can always talk to you. Yeah. That switch never goes off. It's always on. I love you. I love you, man. We, you know, you got my back, I got yours. We got to do this. We got to do this now. That sounds healthy to me. And in Avalon, it's not hard to start something like that. Sometimes it's hard to keep it going. Right? I mean, I'm not blaming the cruise ship, but a lot of us put work, we put other things, we put whatever it may be, the paycheck that's in there. It may be the fact that I've been bought, my soul's been bought, and I owe my, you know, my landlord this or somebody something. And unfortunately what it does is it steals away from people getting together. Genuine koinonia. Real agape stuff. Where I have a love for your heart. And it's deep. It's deep. Some of our band members have had intentionally to develop that to stay in the band. Right? Because it's not just about what I bring to the table here. It's what is God doing in your life? And what's he doing in your life? And you know, you can't play this week or something's messed up here this week. That's fine. You're in our family. You still belong. We still love you. We still care about you. We want to hear from you. You still have our attention. We can just go on and on and on. If you've never been in a small group, you have no idea what I'm talking about. For those that have run with a gang, you definitely know what I'm talking about. You can study gangs all you want, but when you get down to the health of it, man, they are so tight. It is such a tight-knit family. It's unbelievable. They don't care. They don't care. I mean, this is my family. And they look at that. I want to twist this a little bit, but along those same lines, when I think of summarizing the relationships that Jesus shared specifically, and there's just one word that keeps nailing me, and constantly it was love. Jesus literally invaded people's life with love. And what do they look like, these relationships? I mean, these spinoff guys that started other relationships, Paul and all of his letters, and Timothy and his concern for the church, man, it was love. I mean, even when Paul had a disagreement with somebody, said, I'm going this way, you're going to have to go that way, but I love you, brother, right? It was still love. We may not see eye to eye. It's freedom in the non-essentials, unity in the essentials, but I'm going this way, you go that way, I love you. I see this over and over again. Those of you that have read Scripture understand that it is all over Scripture. Jesus set the tone. He set the example. And the word washing over me over and over again is community. It's community. Grab your sermon notes. Write it in. Community. I don't need to define this. I just did. Inside you, it's different. It's something that draws you. It's deeper than it's ever been. And even though this is called Avalon Community Church, what makes this a community? Right? When all heck breaks out with rain and Sylvester is flooded out and 20 people run over there to help dig them out, is that community? Is that an opportunity for community? Heck yeah. Better believe it, right? What happens when people are drowning in our harbor during one of the worst storms in recorded history to come inside our harbor and lives have been lost? Good, good people, good friends. Do we all just walk our separate ways? It changes us. Just recently, the paddle out that we had and the community that came together from a man who was involved in multiple social circles. Community brought people together. And it's not always in loss. Sometimes it's in celebrating someone's win. Incidentally, Goober, I heard you pitched a no-hitter yesterday. Am I right? Well done, son. Guy pitched a no-hitter yesterday. Right? And I got that from his brother's cell phone. I just embarrassed the heck out of him. But guess what? I don't know when that was done last. Guess what that did to the team? Guess what it did to me sitting in the car next to his brother? And he goes, oh my gosh, my brother pitched a no-hitter. A little bit of community spread in the car yesterday. Well done. Through loss or success, there are opportunities for people to come together. It's not like you can put a word on it or a definition on it. Community just feels personal. It feels close. It feels tight. A couple weeks ago, I remember challenging you all when it came down to loving people. And I remember asking in regards to loving people, what if it meant loving people that are not like you? And I flashed that guy with a mullet up on the screen, right? Even if they ask you to have a mullet, I had mine. You know, it's easy to love your friends that are around you or the ones you hang out with. But I guarantee you that if you choose to walk tomorrow to work, okay, definitely in the new bonds, or if you choose to just, you know, your school campus right through the hallways, you will definitely see somebody there that is hard to like, unlovely, whatever you want to categorize, and just friends that you've chosen to not be friends with. It's just not going to work. And I wonder, when was the last time you went out of your way to show kindness, show concern over somebody you didn't know, literally, just an ounce of love? Let the trap say amen. It has got to come clean. There is no way you can live the life of Jesus and choose. You love. You don't get to pick. It's been done for you. Jesus came for each person. Jesus came to die for all of us and to give us the keys to the kingdom. So it's not just salvation. It's all the kingdom that comes with it. And he doesn't sit here and say, no, you're out. You're too old. No, you're way too young. You don't have enough experience. You need to wait until you get to college. Or how about you have a wife and three kids or a spouse, you've got your job, you've got your second salary increase. It's not the way it works. To be a follower of Jesus, it's this. It's love. And I encourage you to take your notes, grab your Bible, however it looks, and most of them are on phones now. Look up these verses. Highlight them. Rate yourself. Rate yourself. Just do it. And not in a condemning way or self-loathing way. Don't do that, okay? How am I in loving others? What's that look like? How am I? I mean, this is a small town. It's hard to avoid people here. Even though you have this vast interior, you've got to have a way to get out there. So people just kind of figure it out, you know? Sidewalk here, sidewalk there, Sol Vista here, and way over there, this town over here. It's still small. It's a beautiful town. This is a great group of people this morning. It's amazing what the enemy loves to do, to come in and stir and twist and spin. And yet, God is all over this place. What a gorgeous place to do church and to have a congregation. Look at your outline. And that key word, community. Let's look at what the Bible teaches about small group and community. How about investing in significant relationships? Okay? And I don't mean just any relationship, but there's a difference between being part of a crowd and having friends, okay? And a lot of people, this is where they get hung up, okay? This is where they get hung up. You don't have to agree with me on this one, that's fine. But what I'm saying is there is a big, huge difference between being part of a crowd and letting people in to a smaller circle in your life. And there are social groups on campus. There are loners, even in this room, that don't have real friends. They don't. They have friendships. They're friendly, but friends, something deeper with only a few. Some are missing that. Just recently, a good friend told me that because of their job and being labeled, many people in this town have made it hard for them to find friends, much less a close friend. And the struggle is very real, as they say. One friend's a big deal in a person's life. So there's a difference between a crowd and a friend who goes, you know, I understand that God has created me to be in a relationship. First, a relationship with Him, and then a relationship with other people. That's an incredible find. And a person with a good life is somebody who, you know, I don't care how many that you do life with together. I just am going to keep it a few, but I don't care. Just find that few. And now I realize certain churches and even school, the big thing is to be part of a crowd. Just jump in. But you know what? Crowds don't impress me at all, period. Large churches, that's great, okay? I just want to know, is my home fellowship, is my house thing I've been invited to, is this getting it done? Am I really allowed to invest in others, and are others investing in me in this little home fellowship? Crowds are great, but Jesus set the example. In fact, He taught us significant friends. The difference here, check it out, okay? 12 main followers. 3 were closest. 1 fell off entirely. And this was, you know, God. And He had that going for Him. Okay? Jesus turned around and set the example. I want this to be small. And these people turned around and changed the world that you live in right now. We are doing church because there are believers here gathered to talk about Jesus as a result of people's lives changed in a small setting hanging out with Jesus. I mean, He set the example. Look at number 2, the principle of 2 or 3. The actual definition of community to Jesus, something small. He says this in Matthew 18, I, Jesus, also tell you this. If 2 of you agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask for, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where 2 or 3 are gathered together, because they are mine, I'll be right there among them. It's a powerful verse. Can you imagine? Not 200, not 300. Just a handful. Look at the next one here. 3 is stronger than 2. Write that in. That makes sense. I mean, it's profound. And it's like, it's very, I get it. Very practical. But look at the verse. A strand of 3 is always stronger than 2. And when I look at this verse, I see what it's trying to say here. It's very simple. If you want to do life alone, you're going to work at it. It is going to be hard. You're going to turn right around, and each time you go at it, you're going to bump heads, as Johnny Cash says, just kick against the pricks. You're going to find out one time, oh, too many, I cannot do this alone. Or you can turn around and say, there is strength in numbers. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start pouring into certain people. I'm going to go ahead and start letting God work in my heart. I just thought as I was working on this message, I thought that was such a perfect example of God's way, bringing the best out of your relationships. To say this 3 are stronger than 2, This is so opposed to the world's way. It's just the way our Jesus set it up. He's amazing, and he knew exactly what we needed, even to this day. In 2019, nothing's changed. A small number of significant friends, but enough, enough, right? The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, there are friends who pretend to be friends, but there are friends who stick closer than a what? Yeah, closer. Let me suggest to you, you've heard me say this before, there are very few good friendships that you're going to have even in high school. Very few, okay? Friends that will stick closer than a brother, quality friendships. Things start kicking in eventually, and you start realizing, man, where is my life as a young person, young adult? But it's hard. It's possible. And you could just come alongside anybody and get their ear, get their attention, just start pouring your life into them. You've got to be careful. You have to be careful. You do want those friendships, but you have to be cautious. You need to know what you're dealing with and test the ground a little bit. Give them a shot at being there for you. Week after week, people come here. Some of them are seeking a close friend in this congregation. It could work, but most of the time it's not during church. It's really not even after church. It's later. It's in a home. It's down at the Buffalo Nickel. It's somewhere where they can just get off and go on a bike ride. It's deeper. Some of you really had good friendships, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's going great 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden the next week, boom, it's gone. What happened? And if you come alongside somebody and just be a good friend, you're a rare breed. You stand out. But there are people here that are seeking that in our congregation. This church is growing. I'm talking about the church. Singing Waters included. God is working on Catalina Island. He's going from cove to cove, and he's moving forward. And it's not because people are Lone Rangers. It's because they're saying, you know, I feel like being heard. And I really care to hear somebody else's story. They're becoming more vulnerable than ever before, and the enemy hates it. He absolutely wants to destroy community. That's his job. And he'll do it one negative attitude at a time, one pessimist at a time. One person knocking the church and just saying, whatever, man, I'm not going to trust it. Good friends are reliable. You can count on them. And you sit back and you talk highly behind their back, not just to their face, but behind their back, you speak of them. That person's the real deal. I love them. And if you tell somebody something, you can trust them. Even at the bank, you know, there's that line. People just start talking. Or you're at the, you know, hairstylist or whatever, you're at the barber, you're over at Lola, people just start talking. A good friend speaks highly of you behind your back in the workplace and everywhere else. Your words can be counted on. Not only are there few friendships, but there are very few that are actually reliable. That's what we're after. And when I get into a bind, where's my backup? When I'm against the wall, when life's not going that well, I can count on this friend. Ecclesiastes 4, two people are better than one, because they get more done by working together. If one falls down, the other can help him up. But it's bad for the person who's alone and falls down because there's no one there. Ecclesiastes 4, God did not create us to live in isolation. So we need each other. And I know you're hearing me right now, but there are some that just like to roam. They just kind of stay on the move. They meet a few friends, and then they're on the go. You know, that bubble goes up. Don't want to get you too close to who I am and what's going on in my life. And that 3-foot bubble goes up, and you're getting a little too close, and then they're gone again. And I mean, sometimes it's even at work. They just check out. Look at number 4. Here's the example. Acts tells us in 44 and 46, the early church used small groups, and all the believers met together constantly. I love that word. Everything was going on, and everything involved everyone. They worshiped together regularly in the temple. Each day, they met in small groups in homes for communion. They shared their meals with great joy. Great enthusiasm, praising God. It was no problem. Their tithes and offerings were a part of the body of Christ. This is supplying help to everyone that's around. And you know what? You're helping me, I'm helping you. And I just love this. This is a powerful reminder that God is in control here in Acts. It's a powerful reminder. He needs to be in control of Avalon Community Church. Amen? He needs to. We need to get out of the way as men, so to speak, or as leaders that say, you know, here's my vision, here's my plans. God says, no, the visions and plans of men are many. My purposes prevail, and my purpose is that you trust me, and I'm going to bring you closer together. You're going to fight the enemy together, and you're going to rely on me, and you're going to love each other, and you're going to love church. And wherever the church gathers, you're going to love it. It's so fun. This week, Reed and I were sitting down and just catching up early morning. A couple people walk over and like, are you Reed? You know, and he's like, yeah. Susan Pacific? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, what is this going on? There's a connection there. In 5 minutes, I'm sitting there going, who are these people? You know, and Reed just picked up where he left off. Why? Because they shared the same college, right? No. It's deeper than that. I've seen you. I can place you. We've been together. Oh, your friend is this friend. Your name came up, Katie. It's pretty wild. There's different friendships that connected them. And when someone goes, oh, you go to that church? Man, I'm never going to that church. Here's what that church did to me. Somebody steps in and goes, no, no, no. It's like a bad day at golf. All right? You don't quit golf. Something happened at the church. It wasn't good. You don't quit church. You don't quit on people. And they speak highly of the church. They speak highly of the body of Christ. They said, that's a bad situation, but thank goodness they're still coming because the church needs sinful people, or we wouldn't have you here or me here or a Jesus that we need to save us and to bring hope. And as a result, we speak highly of the church, even when things get tempting to gossip and tear it down. It's terrible. The small groups are where things come together in a positive way, not a gossip group. Where they come together, they share in meals and thankfulness. Read the last two. Praising God. I love that. You see, there's a difference. A person who cares to grab a few friends, call them, okay, get them together. They're working on this relationship. Is somebody who there's something in their life where they think there's this creeping suspicion that something is better than what they've got. It's deeper and richer. I'm on the phone all the time, bringing certain groups together because I think they may have something that's deeper and richer that can enrich my life and each other's. Do you get it? I mean, there's that person. They're just wanting to get together. Why? Because they're lonely? No. Sometimes it's because, man, you've got something and I've got something. I can't wait to share it. Let's just get together, right? There's a difference there. That person is willing and looking forward to it. See, that's not out of something negative, something positive. Small groups can help you pray through and decipher what God has in your life. It's going deeper. I mean, why sit around and not tell your story? Accountability groups versus healthy small groups. All right? When I say the word accountability, I knew where you were going right there. There's a difference. For men to have an accountability group versus something we're just calling wild men, right, is a way different feeling. One starts in the hole, right? Don't mess up. We've got some guys and they're assigned to you. And we're watching you, right? And three strikes, you're out of the kingdom. The other is, I see the glory in the man. I see what God has done and can do. And we just need to bring that glory out and up to the surface. And let's keep that going. What's the good in the guy, right? Remember Apollo 13 as they're moving closer to reentry and they had to dislodge the one ship to the next that's going to literally spin around and hit the atmosphere and come in. And those guys, you know, had to look at that ship and said, she sure was a good ship, even though there's a hole blasted in the side of this thing. I remember when I watched this movie and saw the documentary, the men that were down in Houston trying to figure this out and just the way it was going in the room was just chaos. One guy just shouts out, what do we have on the ship that's good? Because we don't know of all the leaking oxygen and all this stuff going wrong. Just that one guy's comment broke in. What do we have that's good? That's ministry to me, man. Okay? I mean, I could end this sermon right now. What do we have in this church that's good? Dang it. Bring it. What do we have in your life that's good? I want to hang out and I want to know. Because that's the glory in you. That's Jesus in you. Bring that out. Bring that up. Build that up and watch that person walk away from pattern crap behavior further and further and further away because they're living in the glory that God created them. The enemy wants you to wallow. Certainly not ignore it. That's not what I'm saying. But not wallow in that stuff. God is at work. I have an interview I want to do with a couple that's already up here. Katie and Brian and Riley, come on up here real quick, if you would. Let's give them a clap, guys. Brand new members. And there's a reason for this. Katie, sit there and just grab that mic. And Brian, if you can unplug that one. Okay? I'm curious. Now, these guys, over a year, have been in Avalon, right? And anybody know who Brian is? Anybody know who Katie is? All right, it's good. See, it's good. All right, we're working on something here. When I first met Brian, it was basically here, okay? And certainly you'll see him at different places around town, but there's one where you'll always see him, in Vaughn's. The most important thing about them is not where they work. The most important thing for them is not really looking to them just saying, hey, you're new to the community, you've got a long way to go to be an Islander, dude. No, it's none of that, okay? It's a couple folks that said, I'm interested in belonging. I'm interested in being part of something bigger. So real quick, what was it like? What went through your head, both of you, in deciding, I need to be part of the body of Christ. I need to jump in the church. What first started? What was it?
Well, we've always attended church. Actually, it was kind of interesting. Before we moved here, we drove 30 minutes to church every day, big church, and we were actually looking for something different. I was coming here when I was going to work, but so we've always been part of it, part of the church, but just recently, I mean, I've been going to Wild Men and met some great guys. And I think I've just been diving into it daily, trying to find time with God daily.
Okay. You don't have to drive 30 minutes anymore, do you?
Correct, no.
It's kind of cool. So, Katie, for you, something, when you first get here, you're a mom, there's kids, there's settling, we need housing, all the issues. And when did church or being a part of something like this jump into your mind? What was the chronological order? What brought the need up?
Moving here.
That's good. Is that on? What do we do? Push up on the pusher upper? Sorry. I'm guilty. Thanks.
Prior to moving, we came out a few weeks before and got to help Matthew and his mom do the BBS.
Okay.
And so we kind of jumped in that way and met some people, and it was really great. And I had felt like on the mainland, Brian and I had a desire at our church to be involved or do the mission or volunteer, but we were super outnumbered by kids and time and work, and it just never worked. And it never felt like we really clicked or belonged, or, you know, it was great and we liked going there and the worship was awesome, but it was very shallow, you know, like lukewarm. Like, okay, we like this. Was good, but it wasn't super meaningful or felt really connected, and I felt connected immediately coming here. And Natalie reached out and asked me to, you know, come to mom's group, and it was kind of like, do I come, do I not? But it felt just welcome and part of pretty much immediately coming to ACC.
That's awesome. Quick question for both of you. What's the first thing when you got to something smaller, okay? Not the crowd service here, but something smaller. What's the first thing that stood out to you? I mean, you got your invite from Maddie, and then you showed up at Wildman. What's the first thing that stood out to you just off the cuff?
Really, that a lot of great guys have all the same problems I do every day in life. And that there's just a lot of supporting people in this community. Actually, I went to Wild Men one day, and we always pray before, and I said, John started talking to me about Vaughn's, and I said, John, I don't want to talk about Vaughn's. Well, it turns out I said the wrong thing that day, because he ended up being the MC for the grand opening because of that, but and now it's just incorporating everything. It's not don't talk about Vaughn's or this. It helps that my Snyder's reps here, you know, are also part of the church, and so I get to speak with them daily. But yeah, just the honest truth that I'm finding from attending the small groups and stacking hands with other guys and just taking advice from them. And it's funny because today you were talking about music and what we're listening to, and you know, I like rap. I listen to Wu-Tang. But I have now listened to Toby Mac on my Pandora, and I was showing my daughter that music really influences you. You know, things really influence you. I rarely watch cable except for the Disney Channel now and my sports. But I guess my point is I feel the presence of God every day in my life, and He's working in mine and my wife's been. And I haven't had friends like I do now since I was in sixth grade, I would say. And I still don't even really know a lot of these guys as deep as I'd like. So
you play basketball?
Yes.
Anybody else play basketball? Okay, there we go. Just letting you know. You like to hike a little bit? You like to get out there?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody like to hike around here? Okay, like 5,000 more hands just went up. Okay. So how do you know Brian other than hearing something like this in a small environment? You stack hands. It's like, what do you like to do? What do you like to do? Okay? Very cool. Very neat. Your turn. First thing impressed you.
Yeah,
showed up and there's all these ladies.
So in terms of going to mom's group, first impression?
Yeah. Yeah, small. Something small.
Just thought it was meaningful. Like, their time together was so intentional.
Okay.
Like, they cared, and they cared about me instantly. It wasn't like, you're new, we don't really know you. It was, who are you? What are you about? What is your story? And it was really nice to be new and feel like maybe I don't belong or you don't know me yet. And it was, well, let's change that. Let's know you.
Created in the image of God, male and female. Isn't this cool? Meaning and feeling and dudes coming together. I love it. I love it. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Okay? This is great. That's it, man. That's all it is, bro. Thank you, guys. That's all it is, right? We didn't script this. They wouldn't have shown up if I did. They're just friends. And they're not working at it. They're just doing life. This isn't something hard. It's not hard. They just shot me a text and said, can we hang out? I love the feeling and the meaning. Katie is saying, they actually poured into me. They cared about me. You hear those words? Okay? Belonging. Attention, being heard, being cared for. That is you. That is me. Guys, it's the same words for you. It's just not as masculine, maybe, but it's the same words. All of us are created in the image of God with those same needs. Katie and Brian, thank you for your courage this morning. And thank you for being leaders in our community and just doing life with us in the trenches. I want to tell you that don't believe the lie that you got to have it all together by the time you're an old man or a woman. Nope. A healthy life that's well lived, that comes out of this community, is not when you're old. No. A healthy life can start right now. Jesus didn't put an age qualification. He said, I came that you might have life, a life that you've bigger than you've ever dreamed of when you're 28. No, okay? He didn't say that. When you say yes to Him, a life literally begins where Jesus invades your heart and it's loving towards others. And you got to figure it out. When we first moved to the island, we had to figure it out. We're like, what's going on? Where's my small group? We just started meeting upstairs with Enrique, basically his family, and a couple others. Glenn, a couple others that were in the room trying to picture it all. It was just this, you know, Enrique led a Bible study and he's my very close friend and brother, and I was just glad to be there. You know, I was just glad to be with the friendships, and to this day we still love being in that room, because there was something that attached us there. It was real. Don't you want that? I know you do, and I know you want something deeper and more committed in your friendships. You want to be known. Pursue that. Okay? What happens in small groups? I'm moving quickly through this because the meat and the potatoes has been tossed out there. So here it is. Spiritual growth happens. Questions are answered. John, I've been covering this passage of Scripture. Tonight, you're going over the exact same passage. I got to know this. Wednesday night Bible study. It's a small group. And it's all about the Word of God. I've got some questions I need answered. What do you think about this? What's your commentary on this? You can expect to grow. You can expect to grow. There are some people in this room that are expecting, right? And I look around. I mean, Janaea is this way, and Maria is very close. She's getting there, right? There's people that my own daughter-in-law, right? They're getting close. They do things differently, right? They're sitting for two. They're eating for two. They're laying down a certain way. They're doing things for two. They're expecting something. You live in this way. When I get to my small group, I am expecting something cool. I am here. I am prepared. Maybe I'm not. My day was trash. I just made it. Whatever it is, I'm expecting something. I come expecting my group to be awesome. Why? Because I'm going to grow. And I don't just mean through buffing in all the wisdom, you know, you can throw in there. You can have all the credentials you want. It's not even one bachelor. It's not even one degree. It's two. It's two masters today. Okay? It's other. You can gain all that knowledge you want. That's great. I'm talking about something that's intimate, where your questions can be answered on a life-on-life scale, where you're setting yourself up not to be fixed by people, but to hear from them and allow the Holy Spirit to move on. I'm getting into that in just a second here. Okay? The next one is very simple. Okay? Deep friendships have something that's deeper. As a result, problems can get addressed. Well, what's going on? It's not a gossip session. They form in small groups. I can actually talk to you about my problems. Sharing happens. Why? Because you're after something bigger. I've got to share my life. And so my faith is strengthened. My faith is strengthened because when you have life on life with this closer than any other brother, as Scripture's saying, you're going to walk away going, man, I feel really good after meeting with you. Not this wet blanket thing, but your faith has been challenged. You're sitting there going, man, you just pushed me. What these two just shared on stage actually increased my faith. Would you say the same is true for you? Yeah, that's really cool. Brian, Katie, you had no idea. This morning you just increased our faith this morning. God used you, and He'll do that in small groups, okay? Problems addressed, faith added. Sounds like a plan to me. Sounds like something we could use. Sports teams included. Sounds like something big. So certain nights, the football team will meet, or a team will meet and share story. They call them pie nights, where they share story. They can be heard, and life can come together with other lives. How do I get one started? First thing is, you say, I want to do a small group. I want to get it going. Explore your options. When is there not one going on? I mean, I don't want to sit here and duplicate something else. If something's healthy, let it be healthy. But I can't meet at that one. I'm thinking over here might be another window. I'd like to start a small group. And quite honestly, the church would love to help you. We'd love to be there. You don't want a sub-federation thing going on out there that loses out on the body of Christ and the resources that are available here. We're here to reach out to you, not control you. Not control anything. The elders here are not about control. We're about helping you with your vision. And you'll see that in 101, 201, these great classes coming up in just a couple of weeks, that as you explore your giftedness and your shape that God's created you in, we turn around and say, more power to you. Let God do what He's going to do, and we'll help you start this thing. We'll help you promote it. That's all. We have budget here set aside to help you with your resources that are needed so it's not out of pocket. Explore your options, okay? This one's painful. You better expect some disappointment, though, okay? Small groups are sticky. They're messy. Certain times people show up and they're not the same as they were the week before, and it's just life on life. Is your family perfect that you come from? I'm curious. When you have a reunion or a birthday, does all hell break out sometimes? Family members got to figure it out. Now, I'm not saying every small group is like that, but I am going to say because it's life on life and family on family, sometimes you do got to figure it out. You got to get away from taking things personal. It can get very personal at times. And as a result, if you take things personally, like they showed up this time and they didn't show up the next three times, it's going to kill you. It's going to bite you. Okay? So be careful with that. Sometimes you got to go out after them. They didn't show up for 3 weeks. Where you been? I missed you. What's going on? So they're sticky. They're messy at times. Critical here is establish the foundational setup. What you going to do? Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you might be healed. James just knocks it out of the park. Each person's valued. At Wildman, I can guarantee you this much, when we break into small groups, the guys are told, do not try to fix other men. Do not do that. Okay? That is the work of who? Yeah, name them. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. The Trinity is at work. But the Holy Spirit's work, when we ask Him to come in, specifically the Spirit of God is the one who moves inside the hearts and minds of people. And so the foundational rule is, you are welcome here. Everything about you is welcome here. The Holy Spirit is going to take over at this point. We're releasing Him. Establish those rules that, hey, listen, you may have figured this out in your life, but this man doesn't need, you know, meet on your own and build that relationship. And there's a great context right there where that can be handled. But in a smaller setting where someone's just showing up with other men and other women that's there, that can be very intimidating, can't it? You know, like, geez, I thought I was raising my kids the right way. And all this stuff went wrong. Establish those rules. What's okay? Remember, you're looking for the glory in the person, right? We come back to that. Last but not least, pray for your friends every day. That's not in your notes, because I want you to write it in. Pray for your friends. Pray for your small group. As our band's coming up right now, we're going to pray together. Literally, I'm going to empower you. And I'm going to get out of the way. I've never done a sermon entirely on small groups. So I had to throw a little gang in there too. Right? No. You are a gang. Something healthy. There's some good gangs. There's our gang. Little Rascals. Right? That was a fun show back in the day. Please apply scripture into your heart, into your mind. Look at people with love. And thank you for being here this morning. Okay? You fought through the time change, right? You made it. Well done. Don't just walk away. Don't just grab this little, you know, this little outline and it just kind of goes on the shelf or in the trash. There's scripture there. Put it in the trash after you've memorized that scripture. Look at people with love. Let this stuff go. And let this church continue to grow. Father, thank you for the way that you show yourself each Sunday. Thank you for today. The privilege we have to come together. The privilege that I have to teach and to preach your love letter, the Bible. God, I love this community. I love this crowd. And I love it when I hear small groups are rocking. I know that you love the many that are here and the ones that need to be here. Your hand reaches way over and above our thoughts, what we think, what we can do. Lord, I know that you're the one who's given us responsibilities as followers to share the good news. And most of us aren't going to, you know, be able to jump on TV or stand on the corner to preach. I'm not going to fly above, you know, Avalon with some huge banner. But we can start by being good friends. We can start by living a life that displays you and just pointing people in the right direction. And I pray that this would be the greatest month in the history of this church and this ministry. Just give us eyes for those that don't know you. Opportunities. Give us the timing. Help us to shout out about how much we love you and to hear names in our congregation reaching out to invite people. God, give us more names. And I pray for those that are here that don't know you. I am simply saying, if they're checking you out, God, encourage them and empower them. Bring them in. Bring them in. Protect them from the evil one, the enemy that just wants to separate. Bring them in. And I thank you, God, for your love, because we're your children. And for that, we turn around and say, man, you have protected us and brought us in. We are grateful. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.